Well, 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 welcome back to another episode of the TagCast. I am Fenrir765, and I am here joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that just makes all the dreams come true, Mr. Optimus Fett. What's up, sir?
Well, the biggest dream is that we actually get a Borderlands movie sometime. That's the biggest dream.
Hey. Did you see that interview that Eli Roth did, and he talked about it briefly?
I saw that he did one. I didn't read it. Because we all know it's going to be a dumpster fire.
Oh, he made it seem like it was going to be a magical trip into Pandora. That
of course he did.
He's got his own little... He took some notes from the first game, and he has been given his own ability to go off and make his own story with it. A la Halo from Paramount Plus.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. No, it's going to be...
That's not sounding great.
You have just under 12 months, or 10 months before you will have to experience that joy. So savor it. Let it just fester in your soul. So when it gets here, you will be ready and excited, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hop, we are the TagCast, the AdultGamer.com community podcast. We're here to chat about our little community, our little neck of the internet, neck of the woods, neck of the internet. I don't know, I just came up with a new colloquialism, I feel like. But anyways, we're here to talk about video games in our little community and how we see it and kind of represent things. Sith, we're having some issues with some technicalities here. Hop's mic wants to pick me up too, because I'm awesome, I guess. So we'll figure it out, I guess. Anyways, we're here to talk video games. We're here to talk our community, the adultgamer.com, and have a little fun as we go through it. So Hop, take a moment. Tell me what you've been playing in the last month, because it's been a while since we've been here.
Yeah, let's see. I played some Forza Motorsport, and it starts really slow, but it gets pretty fun once you get through the first couple circuits where they make you drive the really slow cars. Once you get to drive some faster cars, it's actually pretty cool. I've heard that online has a lot of problems. I haven't tried it online at all, but track design, graphics, and cars, and all the stuff that matters if you're a car fanatic, pretty awesome. Checked out some Fortnite with the flashback to the OG map, and I don't miss that map. Like, I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, and it looks terrible now compared to the last map we had as far as art design. Like, you can tell it's a 6 or 7 year old design. It just doesn't look as good. I'm glad it's there for those people that have big nostalgia for that map, but
a lot of people,
I'm looking forward to the next map.
I get it,
but I thought the last couple maps we had were a lot more fun. I started Horizon Forbidden West, and I don't know how I feel about it. It's way bigger than Zero Dawn, almost like too big. The story's kind of neat. It jumps the shark pretty crazily in a way I did not expect it to, but I'm not as excited to play it. In fact, I kind of just sat it down. And I also forgot I beat the Resident Evil Separate Ways DLC. That was really awesome. That was a killer DLC. That was almost like a whole nother game. They did a really good job with that. And they seem to really be hinting that the next remake will be 5. They'll probably do Resident Evil 9 or whatever they're going to call that. And then we'll probably get a remake of 5. I still hope we get a remake of Code Veronica at some point. But Modern Warfare 3 dropped. I played through the campaign. I didn't think it was that bad. It wasn't fantastic. I would give it a solid 6.5, 7 tops as far as like it has a good story. Gameplay is old hat. They added these new open combat zones. They call OCW, OCZ missions. They're basically like a DMZ style mission, but you're solo. You kind of can, you have objectives, but you're not railroaded into one linear track like most of the regular levels are. It's about a half and half mix between regular levels and these open combat zones. But the story was good. It was a lot more focused than last year's game where they were kind of going all over the place between Mexico and the Middle East. Well, now this is all about tracking Makarov. And then the zombies and PvP came out. Both are really fun. I'm having a blast. It's a good time. What about you, Finn?
Well, I like Sith's comment. The internet is using the AC-130 on Modern Warfare 3 right now, and he is exactly correct. It is hot out there for for Call of Duty.
Right now, it's cool to hate. It's cool to hate on Call of Duty. It's also cool to hate on superhero movies. So
that's true.
You know,
I do want to ask this question: do you feel like it is worth the $70 price tag or more, depending on what edition you got, for what you received with Call of Duty?
For what I'm receiving, yes, because I will get my money's worth and then some.
Okay.
If you're not into Call of Duty, if you're not into playing and you've got a regular squad of friends, if you're not into zombies, especially if you're into zombies and PvP, definitely worth it. If you only play PvP or if you are a campaign only person, no, wait for a sale. The campaign's pretty short. And it's average. It's fantastic looking. It's gorgeous. It's got some killer set pieces and missions, and they look great. But if all you ever play Call of Duty for is a campaign only, and then maybe if you play PvP for a month, no, don't even bother. Okay. Get it on sale. If you love Call of Duty, and especially this year, if you like a Call of Duty that plays like a mix between the original Black Ops 2 and say something like Modern Warfare 2019, this plays like that. You're back to, it's faster, your tac sprint recharges faster, the UAV works the right way. If you don't have a silence gun, everybody can see you on the minimap. Ninja's back, aka Dead Silence. You know, all the perks are back to the classic way. They didn't do that weird thing Infinity Ward did, and they also didn't do the Infinity Ward, oh, your guns never show up on the minimap because we don't want people to know where you are crap that they pulled last year. So.
All right. Well, that's good that you have found the value in that game. And in the end, that's all that matters.
Can the people that love the series, McSwitch, Exclusive Ace, the people that really love Call of Duty, they're loving the game. Other people that are hating on it, they just needed something to pick on, I think. Yeah,
McSwitch and I were talking during one of our hunt nights, and he was like, I love the multiplayer. The campaign was not worth the price of admission.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't as bad as they make it out, though. Like, some of the reviews where they gave it a 4 out of 10, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You were just being a jackass. Like, yeah. I have played way worse games for full price than this.
I would agree with that sentiment as well. It does not seem like it's that low, but in the end, the internet will internet and it will go down the thing. And my favorite thing that has come out of it is everybody, obviously the fanboy, the console warriors out there are using it as like fuel to the fire of how bad Microsoft is because Call of Duty, they ruined Call of Duty with this game. And I'm like, come on. Like the deal just closed.
The deal just went through. We never even had our "Hey, the deal just went through" episode.
No, we didn't.
Because the last time we recorded, it still hadn't gone through.
Well, it is through, and now Microsoft is to blame for the terribleness that is Modern Warfare 3. So, I mean, how insane can it get? You asked me what I've been playing, and really not a lot. We're down to one episode a month right now with the Tagcast because of how busy my life is with grad school. And you know, I don't know if I sound pretentious that I keep mentioning it or that I got it going on, but it is my life right now. But I've gotten some time in there for Hunt Showdown with Warlock and McSwitch, and they got the fire event going on, and it's pretty cool where the map's on fire and you like running around, smoke everywhere, and you get like when you get up to the fire, all you can hear is just the trees and everything around you burning. You can't hear people stepping up on you, so that adds another element to the game. So it's just been really fun. I just love that game. And then been grinding my way out with Liza P, that Soulsborne game that takes place in the world of Pinocchio. And I gotta tell you, this game is just phenomenal. The story, the way the game is laid out, it's just, it is really cool. And I'm on chapter 10, I believe, right now. So I think I'm in the last, like, maybe two or three chapters of the game. So I can't wait to finally get through and beat it and see how it ends. And I read somewhere that there are DLC coming out for it that's going to take place in another fantasy world that is in, obviously, public domain. I can't remember what it was, but I was just like, man, this is going to be cool if they keep kind of pulling in these different worlds that, you know, we knew growing up in our childhood and, or, you know, later on from like these fantastical children's stories that now have these very dark worlds within them. So I'll be excited to see what they do next with it. And then finally, do you remember our old friend Hybrid Havoc, Hop?
I was just thinking about him today because I got a brand new Power A Pro Fusion 3 controller, and I was going to ask him if he checked it out yet.
Well, he just randomly hit me up the other day, and he was like, hey, check out Jusant and tell me what you think about it. So I had some free time. I had been working through Liza P, and I got to a part that I was just getting frustrated with, so I wanted to take a break from it. So I downloaded Jusant, and this is that climbing game that was at Summer Game Fest, and there's no voice acting. I believe it's probably made in the Unity engine based on the way the graphics look. But essentially, you're climbing a very tall rock face, and there's a story that's kind of told through it. And I gotta admit, if you're looking for something kind of peaceful and, you know, just like a different vibe, it's an interesting little game to go through. And I completed the first chapter. I think I'm mostly through the second chapter of it. I don't know how long of a game it is, but the mechanics of how you climb is you use the triggers to and the different sticks to control your left arm and your right arms, and the left triggers control your grip, and or the triggers control your grip based on the left or right side. And you just kind of use those to climb up through the mountains. And there's some kind of, like, I don't want to say it's like a puzzle, but just like a platforming mechanic that you're trying to figure out how to, like, what's the angle you want to take, if how you're going to do a double clutch jump or things like that to get to the next thing. It was just, I don't know, it was peaceful. It was somewhat relaxing and subdued to, you know, the vibe of the whole game. I don't, maybe it'll get a little intense later on. I'll find out, but it's definitely a game worth checking out because it is on Game Pass if you utilize that service on your Xbox and PC. So just interesting. Just an interesting little jaunt, if you will, I guess. All righty, sir. So that, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to talk about games and hopefully give a little perspective on them. But here, it's been a month since we've last recorded, and there has been some news that has come out. And I promise you, we are not going to go through a month's worth of news. We'll just try to hit some highlights in the last week or two and, you know, move on from there. But I'm going to go ahead and start with this news story. I found it really interesting. Were you ever a Magic the Gathering card game player in your younger years?
No, that kind of hit, like, I don't know, it hit at an odd time for me. I had just kind of stopped playing tabletop all that much, and I was way more into my band, music, and everything. My brother got into it big time. I kind of, I didn't even mess with it. Yeah.
I went through a phase in middle school where I jammed out to some Magic the Gathering, and I had some fun with it, but here was a, I didn't realize that they were starting to do some, like, crossover things called the Secret Lair. And in that, they've done a Street Fighter crossover. And I don't remember what the other one was that was mentioned. But the one that they have going on right now is a Lara Croft crossover, where there's 7 cards connected to Lara Croft. One obviously being her, and others being skills or items or things that connect to her. And even like what they land, right, is their source of power in the game. So I thought that was really interesting. And the cards, you know, are really beautifully done. Their art on them is fantastic. So apparently also coming up with the Secret Lair, they're going to have a Fallout crossover. So that would be interesting to see how that connects with the kind of not steampunk, but the futuristic, you know, sci-fi technical stuff, and how that's going to land in that Magic the Gathering kind of fantasy style world. So I thought that was interesting. Dark Tide is getting a free anniversary update, and with that is coming some content. And the interesting thing about it is they're adding some new missions and some new cutscenes. And I was just curious, Hop, have you continued with your Dark Tide?
No.
Are you done with
that? I uninstalled that game.
Okay, yeah. I did the same. I had my fun with it, but it was just a little too massive.
I didn't have fun with it. It was way too grindy and monotonous and not... I had way more fun with Vermintide. Just from the beginning, I just like was... It just felt so much like they took that formula and just broke it down, so we were only getting like micro pieces to the next part. And I was like, oh my god, no, I'm not gonna sit and play this. Like, it was definitely not enough
carrot. You're right. Like, it was,
yeah,
I hated when you ran.
They were instead of the bag of baby carrots, it was the shredded carrots, and they were literally feeding you one little piece of the shredded carrot. I was like, no, get out of here.
I think where I hit my breaking point was I ran a mission, and when I got done with it, I unlocked the ability to purchase several guns. But I never yes. got a gun or armor or anything in that mission. And I was like, well, what was the point? You know, I didn't even get enough money to buy the gun on top of it too. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I had my fun for the short time I was with it, but I knew that I just didn't have the chops to get through any more of it. So I will say it was a good looking game.
I'm really glad that I got to experience it via Game Pass. I would have been pretty mad if I had paid for that game.
And you know, that is a beautiful thing about Game Pass. You know, I just to, you know, kind of backpedal a little bit, that Lies of P, I purchased it. It's on Game Pass, but I bought it because I've loved this game. So I figured, why not?
Yeah, I mean, Streets of Rage 4 came out, I played it on Game Pass for about 15 minutes, and I said, oh yeah, I'm buying this. I just bought it right away.
So, all right, next up, oh, this one, I have to give the people credit that are managing Warzone. Is that Raven Studios now, or is it just still
Raven has taken it back over? Yeah, Raven took over about 3 months after Infinity War dropped the bomb that was Warzone 2 that flopped pretty bad.
Okay.
They brought Raven back in to slowly revert everything Infinity War did. Well, so yes, Raven is running the show.
They've been creative, and there's reports that the anti-cheat team there is going to maybe start cutting people's parachutes if they're cheating as soon as they jump out of the plane. And or making, if it's detected that they're cheating partway through the match, they will call it the 1,000-foot drop, where if they just
saw that,
if they just step off a, you know, go down a step, they will instantly die. So I think that they are finding new and creative ways to just murder people for cheating, which is fantastic. So I remember there was a time, I don't know if it was this game or another game, but there was talk of them finding ways to put all the cheaters in the same lobby, so all they did was just cheat against each other and not the general.
That'd be
mass.
Amazing.
So Next up, Spider-Man 2 sells 5 million copies in 11 days. Have you scratched the itch that is Spider-Man 2 yet, Hop?
No, because I only just in the past, when did I get that PS5? Not even 6 months ago. I've played through all of Spider-Man 1 and then Spider-Man Miles Morales, and I figured I should save some Spider-Man. And I'm honestly going to hope that Spider-Man 2 goes on sale at some point digitally. And then if time will pass, I'll feel like I can play it without... Like, I just didn't want to blow all my Spider-Man wad in the span of, like, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I mean?
That,
like, I'm saving that Spider-Man 2 for a rainy day kind of a thing.
You know, that white webbing just doesn't get out easily anymore. yeah, so yes, 11 million, that's, or 5 million in 11 days. That's good. That's good, man. I mean, obviously we know that Insomniac is a high quality studio that has found a formula to produce a lot really quickly. So props to them for that. They deserve all the flowers and accolades they can for that game. Next up, N7 Day came and went, which is a, you know, holiday from BioWare to commemorate the Mass Effect series, and as N7 is the rank of the military person, part of the Earth Alliance people, and I'm drawing a massive blank on all the things that it's legitimately called, but N7, November 7th, you know, tend to correlate with each other. But anyways, they released a bunch of like tiny little snippets of a video. Fans had to decode them, and in the process, or when they got it done, they were able to BioWare then finally released the full unredacted version of the video. And essentially it was just a female type character, which presumably doesn't look human, kind of walking and then turning back with a really cool looking trench coat with the N7 logo on it. And there were all sorts of other teases in the short, like 30 second video or less. And, you know, some things about some races that are not necessarily existing in the current world of Mass Effect, that things that might have existed in the Andromeda game versus the current galaxy. Just a lot of little things here and there. The first big trailer we got from Mass Effect 5 is what it seems like it's being called. We saw Liara T'Soni find the N7 badge that is presumably Shepard's. So we'll see where this game goes. Obviously,
they're swinging for the fences.
Yeah, obviously BioWare needs to first release Dreadwolf, Dragon Age Dreadwolf, because that's the next game in their thing before Mass Effect really gets its due diligence. All right, I'm going to move over to a game that you're a fan of, Mortal Kombat, right? You've gotten into Mortal Kombat 1 yet, right? Are you still...
I haven't bought it yet.
Oh, no. Man, you are still...
Again, waiting for a sale.
Okay, well, have you been paying attention to what's been going on with this series, with their microtransactions?
Yeah.
So this is wild, right? So Omni-Man is getting ready to be released in a Mortal Kombat 1, and he has the nice price tag, according to the Nintendo eShop, of $7.99. So that doesn't seem like too much for a character. But just a few weeks ago, they had a fatality pack for a Halloween fatality pack that released, and it cost $10 for that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, I will give credit where credit's due. The team at Mortal Kombat obviously heard the backlash that for the $10 for that Halloween Mortal Fatality pack. And so they decided to turn it into a holiday fatality pack combo pack, where now you'll get a Thanksgiving fatality as well as a winter fatality. I don't know if I saw the trailer for one of the Thanksgiving fatalities, and nope, don't want that ever done to me. Just going to say that. It was pretty intense. So either way, props to you, Mortal Kombat, for making some awesome fatalities, but come on. You don't need to charge us a massive amount for that. And then finally, the biggest news story I think that came out in the last few weeks is we finally have confirmation that the next GTA game does really exist, and we will get more information, according to the Rockstar Twitter account, early December.
I mean, that's like saying Nintendo's making a new console. It's not a matter of if.
It's a matter
of when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Hop, I do have a question for you. What do you want in a new GTA game?
So I've never really been a fan of the series. I've tried. Okay, so the first two games in the series I never played. The top-down ones, never touched them. Grand Theft Auto 3 came out. Everybody was raving about it. I couldn't get into it. Vice City was a little more interesting because of the 80s theme. I got into that one a little bit, but I didn't finish it. And then I didn't play 4. When 5 hit Game Pass not too long ago, I thought, okay, I'm gonna give it another try, because I really ended up liking Red Dead Redemption 1 a lot, the first one. Still never finished Red Dead Redemption 2. We've discussed why. Go back last year or so. 2 years. I don't know. Anyway, so I tried Grand Theft Auto 5 and I couldn't get into it. Like, the beginning was kind of cool. And then just certain characters and the way they talk and the world. And I was like, I don't really want to be one of these people. I can't, like, I have no interest in being these people. And that just kind of takes me out of wanting to play the game.
That's fair. I think I enjoyed the dysfunction of the characters in 5 so much that it kept me in it. But I agree with you that, you know, the notion of Grand Theft Auto is, I don't know, a zeitgeist thing that people will either love or they have no care for it, right? So one of the things I want out of the next Grand Theft Auto is I just want them to improve some of the mechanics, like the shooting. That has always been the weakest part for me in Grand Theft Auto. If you're going to have guns and gunplay in it, try to tighten that up a little bit, because it is atrocious. And throwing things is even worse. So if you had a grenade or something to throw, it's like throwing a 20-pound cinder block. You can't do it from like a crouched position the way that the game wants you to do it. It's weird. So I hope that they can kind of tighten up some of those gameplay pieces. The driving's always been okay. Like, it's not going to be Forza level fantastic. But considering how Rockstar went more for the simulation-esque vibe with Red Dead Redemption 2, I do wonder if they'll try to do some of the same, like make things more realistic in the Grand Theft Auto world compared to the arcadey style that they had in all the games with some of the very clunky controls. And please fix the walking.
Right.
Please fix the walking. Like, I'm tired of like walking past something by like 10 steps because the game tries to have some kind of momentum buffer as it's walking or running forward. So please fix that. But yeah, I like to see that. I've heard rumors or people discuss, like, with it being the 6th game, you know, the Roman numerals for 6 is VI. So it may return back to Vice City, and that'd be interesting. So either way, I think
that sounds like really reaching. That really sounds like somebody's like hopeful.
I mean, it'd be cool maybe to go back to my city. But I mean, they've been in the Los Santos area for many games, so it might be time to go back to some of these, maybe the East Coast.
Well, wasn't 4 New York?
Yes, 4 was their version of New York.
Right, because 3 was the East Coast city too.
Yeah,
3 was East Coast, Vice City was like
Miami.
Miami, and right? Then Florida area. And San then Andreas. Four was, you were the...
San Andreas, oh, and five was also in the Los Angeles area as well.
Yeah, San Angeles. They, I think they called San Angeles. But four was the one where you were the Russian, and it was in like a New York area, right?
You were Nico. Yeah.
That's right.
Nico, the silent protagonist. He didn't say a word the whole game.
See, that one I probably should have played. That one I probably could have gone to. That was half the problem. I was like, what? No.
I also curious. I just heard somebody make a point about how they wonder how GTA is going to get away with some of its satire and some of its storytelling.
That has changed a lot. Yep. People are. Yeah.
So
yeah, that'll be interesting. All right, quick rundown. We got some. It's not all the games, but we got a couple, some big hitters coming out this month. Star Ocean Second Story, Switch and PS5 and PC, November 2nd. My Time at the Sandrock, PS5, Switch, Xbox, November 2nd. The Talos Principle, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, November 2nd. Thirsty Suitors, PC, Switch, Xbox, PlayStation, November 2nd. RoboCop Rogue City, I'm definitely going to grab this when it goes on sale. PS, PC, Switch, and Xbox. Fashion Dreamer, Switch only November 3rd. WarioWare Move It, Switch only November 3rd. Football Manager 2024, and by football, I think they mean soccer. I'm not sure. PS5, Xbox, Switch, PC, mobile. Like a Dragon, Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, November 9th. Tales of Arise Beyond the Dawn DLC, PC, PlayStation, Xbox. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, the official release date was November 10th. Hogwarts Legacy, the Switch edition, November 14th. Super Mario RPG on the Switch, November 17th. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. Persona 5 Tactica, that looks like all systems, November 17th. Naruto X Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections, PC, Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, November 17th. And then Dune Spice Wars, Xbox exclusive, November 28th. All right, those are our games. Fen, what's going on with the Tag Discord?
Yeah, not a whole lot. We just like chatting about all the different things in the world. I mean, we got people talking about food. We got people talking fantasy football. We got people talking, obviously, video games on all the major platforms, as well as any relevant news coming out. We got sports conversations. We are adults. We're fine gentlemen and ladies of all interests of all things. So come join us in our Discord at theadultgamer.com and jump into a conversation and let's have some fun. We also have Halo Night. It is mostly back on Thursdays. We've been getting a small crew, small but mighty crew. Maybe Sith will join us sometime again here in the future for some Halo action. But yeah, it's been fun. Husky Raid is a good time. They have all sorts of really cool custom modes now out there.
And that new event starts with the Halo 3 maps coming in.
Yes, I'm going to be interested to check that out. A whole bunch of Halo 3 maps.
Yeah, I got it in my email.
Yeah, they got a whole bunch of them. And there's some custom game type things I want to check out with the crew if we can one evening, where there's some like campaign mission type things that are fan created that apparently really really been really highly recommended by people that they've made in Forge. So this whole Forge thing is getting wild and crazy, and I'm here for it, because some of these things that are coming out there are just awesome work that they've put together, especially with the use of AI tools now, AI pathing and all that for enemy types. So, and then sometime this season we're supposed to be getting a firefight mode, so that will be fun too once that drops. All right, and then I know you and Sith have been holding it down on Sunday nights. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Fight Club Tag, check us out. We moved it to Sunday nights. It's been slow going. It's mostly just been me and Sith, but we're having fun, so hopefully we can get some people back at some point.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Seth and I will just keep throwing down and we'll be better at fighting games than anybody else we know.
There it is. You'll be the ringers that we need when it comes to it. So, all right, sir. Have you had a chance to check out the old video game awards nomination list at all?
I did not go through all. I saw the game of the year stuff.
Yeah. Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
So, first of all, Game Awards, it's online, YouTube, Twitch, wherever you want to watch it, but it's on. It will air on December 7th. Jeff Keighley is the progenitor, I guess, of it all, and he's the one that has put this together, and he's done a really good job of it for the last few years. So feel free to tune into that. You might catch some world premieres and some new information. I'm sure some of the major publishers out there will drop something big during it because it is a all eyes event for many ways. So I look forward to just to see what comes out of it. I'm not super keen on necessarily who wins each thing, but there are some categories that I am curious about. But I wanted to talk about the Game of the Year nominations. So I'll quickly go over them. First, we have Alan Wake 2, then Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. So those are the Game of the Year nominations. I don't necessarily want to talk about, like, was there a snub? Because honestly, this year is the best year in gaming, and it would be impossible to probably pick six games, let alone 8-10 games with the number of games that have come out this year, because there's a ton of really great games that came out. But there's one game on this list that I question its validity on being there.
The game, and oh yeah, get to it, because I know you didn't play it.
I didn't play it. But
no, because it was fucking awesome. I think you're full of shit on this one.
Okay, I am.
Because I played it, and it's a whole new game, and it was amazing.
Okay.
And just because it's a remake of a game that in a series that you don't even like, and you're just shitting all over it. I saw your thing in the Discord. I was like, you're full of crap.
I just said I don't think it necessarily belongs there. And I only have one reason why.
Because you didn't play it.
Okay. Fair why? Enough. I'm not saying it's a bad game. Did I say it was a bad game? Did I say that it didn't deserve
no,
to be
there? No, but you
because
didn't play
of...
it. If you would have played it, you'd have been like, oh, this probably should be. And there were so many people after playing this remake, they were like, holy crap, this is an early contender for Game of the Year. All the reviews all right. said that early on.
So I'm not saying that it does, like, it can be there. Right? I'm going to waffle this a little bit, and I know what I'm doing. But here's how I see it. All right, Alan Wake 2 is a sequel to a game that came out many, many moons ago, and it is I haven't played it either, but it is a, from everything I've heard and seen, it is a fantastic game. But it is a sequel that carries on the storytelling of the game. Baldur's Gate 3, same thing, sequel, carries on the storytelling, it's a whole different game of itself. Spider-Man 2, another sequel, okay, fine, you know, you get the point. Tears of the Kingdom, sequel. I don't know anything about Super Mario Brothers Wonder, but as far
sequel.
As like, is it
this
sequel?
Whole list is sequel.
Is Super Mario yeah. Brothers Wonder a sequel, or is it just another game in the Mario world? I don't know, but I'm assuming that. But Tears of the Kingdom sequel.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably argue that either way. It's not a new it's a new Mario game, but it's a spiritual sequel to the most recent 2D yeah. Mario games. They were trying to make the ultimate 2D Mario game.
So either way,
Legend of Zelda sequel.
Yep. All these games are sequels, including Resident Evil 4, which is the game that I am saying that it should be in question for its reason to be included in this list. And the only reason I'm kind of like, all right, damn, I wonder why this game should be included. I agree with you, even though I've never played the game, is that this game is a very different game than the first game. For a plethora of reasons, and I support you in this endeavor, sir. But my thought process is this. We know how great a game Resident Evil 4 was to begin with. It is, in many people's books, one of the top 20 games of all time, right? Would you agree, disagree with that statement, the original Resident Evil 4?
I mean, it was great. I don't know if I'd put in the top 20.
Okay.
There's so many games.
True.
Maybe the top 20 third-person action game. I don't know. It was a great game.
Yeah.
But the remake, honestly, is way, way, way better.
Okay.
In my opinion, than the original version was.
So, here's my only caveat with it. Is, say, the Game Awards existed back when Resident Evil 4 came out. There would be an argument to be said that this game probably could have won Game of the Year back then. Probably could have. Not saying it could have, would have. I don't remember what came out when this game came out, so I'll leave it at that. But it would be at least in the nomination list more than likely as it is now. So my thought process became, what if Baldur's Gate 3 wins this game or wins this year's Game of the Year, right? And then in 10, 15 years, some greedy executive somewhere said, you know what? Baldur's Gate 3 was a really great game. Let's remake it from the ground up and with all the technology and put it in VR or whatever, we're hologram or holodeck, if we have that technology by then. And then the video game awards come out and they're like, man, you know what? The holodeck version of Baldur's Gate 3 was the most amazing game ever. And it's going to win Game of the Year again. We had a game that won Game of the Year in 2023. And now it's going to win Game of the Year in 2043. Just because it got remade into a different, a more modern version.
I mean, if the gameplay is that good and entertaining and really fun, I don't really see what the problem is.
Okay. All right. Fair.
If it was best new original game, you got an argument.
Okay. I'm
just saying, if the gameplay is that good where people can't stop talking about it, I don't see why it shouldn't be included.
Okay. All right. Hey, fine. I just disagree. And that's where it's got to be, right? You know, what's the phrase from Anchorman? When in Rome? Or agree to disagree? Whale's vagina?
No. It's all good. I just know you haven't played it, so well, I know for a fact.
I'm not questioning its validity on its merits of being in there per se. I'm just saying that I'm just like,
I know, and I'm saying had you played it, you probably wouldn't be questioning its validity.
I mean, I would probably say the same thing about Dead Space Remake if somehow that made it in there. I played the first one, and I've actually played part of the second one or the remake. And
yeah, but if you paid attention to the reviews this year, that game did not get put into the, oh my God, this is contender for Game of the Year. They're like, oh, this is a pretty good remake of Dead Space. Resident Evil 4 was a different animal altogether. People were like, holy cow.
I don't disagree with you, man.
They took a great game and made it greater.
I am not saying it's a bad game. I'm just saying, I think that there is a argument to be had that remakes should be exempt from Game of the Year. But I would agree with you that I will trust
I would
you.
Say remasters should definitely not be allowed for Game of the Year. I don't think Resident Evil 4 is going to win Game of the Year.
It's going
to
be Baldur's Gate.
I think
Gate
Baldur's 3. Gate, yeah, that seems to be the what's going to win.
I mean, you can
right?
have sex with a bear in Baldur's Gate 3. Why wouldn't that be Game of the Year?
Yeah, there's really nothing else that this year that touches that.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get some furry love, why don't you go for it?
Okay? Gosh.
All right, so that's just kind of where I wanted to take that conversation for a quick moment. But was there any category that like you were interested in kind of knowing more about, like, best shooter, best
I don't think so. I'm not so these kind of things, these game awards or like movie awards, it doesn't really interest me all that much because it becomes a popularity contest and a, you know, of the popular media and the journalists. And I know this is voted on by gamers, but a lot of them are persuaded, and there's certain games that are going to rise to the stratosphere and get those votes. It doesn't really affect me. I don't really care that much.
Yeah. Well, I will say one of the games I thought was interesting that didn't get put into the best independent game or indie game debut was Lies of P. It got put into the RPG category, which I thought was interesting.
That's kind of weird.
I'd figure it'd be more of an action adventure style game if it wasn't
a right.
category of that. But it's in the best RPG, and that's Golden against Baldur's Gate 3 again, Final Fantasy 16, Sea of Stars, and Starfield. So I don't think that will win, even though I would probably pick that because I've just had such an amazing time with that game. And then the other one that I was curious about because of how stacked of a year it's been was the best fighting game. And obviously Mortal Kombat 1, Street Fighter 6, and then there was Pocket Bravery, Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl 2, and God of Rock. Two of those games I've never heard of. God of Rock.
Yeah, it's going to go down between SF6 and Mortal Kombat 1.
More than likely.
The rest of those games aren't going to matter. That'll be a tough call. I really, really like Street Fighter 6, but I really, really hate a few things about it. And I know that I haven't played Mortal Kombat 1, but I know that it actually has a King of the Hill lobby. So that, for me, bumps it up one level above Street Fighter 6. Yeah.
The only other category I was interested in was the best action category, and that has Armor Core 6, Dead Island 2.
Armor Core, Dead Island 2, Ghost Runner 2, Hi-Fi Rush, and Remnant 2. These were all highly talked about action games.
I can tell you which game I think should win it, and I can tell you which game I think will win it, and that's the game I think should win is Remnant 2. The game that probably will win, Armor Core 6. So, because the From Software love
probably,
is just there.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Armor Core 6 would win.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always find the Game Awards to be interesting. I love that it exists just because it gives it an Oscar flair to this industry that is kind of missing. The red carpet, the glitz, the glam, whatever you want to call it. But I really do think that it is an important thing. I do hope that there's some really cool announcements that come out of it, because that's really what most people are going to be tuning in to see, even though you can just catch that stuff the next day. But
look at this. They put Lies of P in best RPG.
Yep. It's not going to win, but
that's a race between Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, and Starfield, maybe. And maybe Sea of Stars. I don't know. Those are all pretty talked about. But yeah, Lies of P was, I would have put in more in the action adventure category.
Yep. I just think that game didn't get enough love. Like, not enough people checked it out, because, I mean, that game is phenomenal. So if you like Dark Souls, if you like Bloodborne, I've heard people, if you love Bloodborne, you'll love this game. So please check it out. I mean, it is totally worth it. So, but yeah. Oh, here's another one that I thought was interesting was the best performance. So Ben Starr, Final Fantasy, Cameron Monaghan for his, what's the guy's name? Cal Kestis and Jedi Survivor. Idris Elba for Phantom Liberty in Cyberpunk. And then I'm not sure who Melanie Laborde, I'm assuming, plays the other main protagonist in Alan Wake 2. Neil Newborn, Baldur's Gate 3, and Yuri Lowenthal, Marvel Spider-Man 2. So, I was interested in that one because obviously Idris Elba, I've heard only fantastic things about his role in Cyberpunk. So
I can't wait to play that DLC. Someday I'll get to that.
Someday I'll just play the game to completion. Someday, if I ever play video games more than once or twice a week. So. Alrighty, well, check out the Video Game Awards on the YouTube, the Twitch, or wherever you catch most of your streaming. I'm sure it'll be there on December 7th, and have some fun, eat some popcorn, and cheer on your favorite game to victory over all others, because then they will be better than all the trash around them. That includes you, Resident Evil. I mean, no, you're a great game. You're fantastic.
Wow. Wow.
I'm kidding. I jest. All right. Well, I am Finn. He is Hop. What you got? Anything you want to talk about? You've got a few episodes of your other podcast coming out.
Right? No, just come. Yeah, come check out Retro Futurist Culture on ruminationsradionetwork.com. Dropped a V for Vendetta episode.
I was just talking.
It's gonna be a Gears of War episode. There's gonna be a Gears of War episode soon. I have to get with the people for the schedule on that, but that's gonna be a deep dive into Gears of War, like story lore stuff, not really gameplay stuff.
This may spoil your episode on V for Vendetta, but I'm just curious if you talked about it or if you can answer the question now. Does it hold up to in today's world, the movie?
Dude. Not only does it hold up, but if you haven't watched it in a long time, you're going to kind of freak out a little bit.
Okay, because I was just talking about that with a friend, and I was like, you know what? I haven't seen it in so long, and I'm curious if it holds up. So don't get angry at me if you watch it and you're like, hey, why'd you recommend this?
There's some eerie parallels. You're going to be like, all right. What?
I love a good allegory.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll have to go check it out.
All right, man.
Well,
yeah, please do.
As always, thanks for joining me for another episode of the TagCast. Like I said earlier in the show, we are on a once a month rotation right now. If we can sneak in a second episode here or there, we will. I will try. Hop is always down, but I will try to make it work. But right now, we will try to record in the first 2 weeks of the month and go from there. So, I am Finn. He is Hop, and until the next time, we'll catch you on the flippity flip.